Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 85, and I am Libya, your host, and this week we have returning guests.
David from Los Angeles.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Marcia from Encino.
All right. This week in the news, we have that YouTube has decided to, they've inked a deal to have a bunch of online channels with shows done by professionally produced shows with up to 100 channels and up to $5 million set aside for each channel. They plan to have 25 hours of original programming per day. And that's supposed to start next year. Which is, I'm like, really? Now I have to watch more television? Are you kidding me? So, and on YouTube of all places? Anyway, the other piece of news is that CW, after they made their deal with Netflix, to where they're going to have all their shows are going to be on Netflix, they then turned around and inked a deal with Hulu for the next 5 years that they will, if you have Hulu Plus, you will get all CW shows the next day. If you want the free service, you have to wait a week. So now CW shows are on Hulu. So all the people who are cutting the cord, there you go, another channel.
That's awesome. I'm so happy.
Yeah, because you were paying for Vampire Diaries and stuff from...
Yeah, so that's great for me. Yeah.
So.
Hulu Plus.
Now they just need CBS to fold. Damn you, CBS.
The other thing is, what's interesting to me is the whole Netflix hoopla when they raise their prices. Nobody's talking about Redbox just raised their prices by 20% per day. Because it used to be 99 cents per DVD per day from Redbox, and they just increased their prices 20% per day.
Wait, what? Oh, wait, I thought, I must have misread that. I heard that Redbox was a dollar a day.
Right.
And now it's a dollar and a penny or something.
No,
it was
20.
A penny? I was like, why would they do that?
No, it's 20% more. So it's like a dollar.
So it's a dollar
20. 25. 20, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because
like
I must have missed, because I thought it was a joke. I was like, why would you raise it a penny? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Okay, all right, so.
But no, I just find it interesting nobody's really talking about that. Like, it didn't create the fanfare.
How does Redbox do really well?
I don't think they're as big as any of the other
ones.
Well, no one's as big as Netflix, but
right.
I mean, is it successful?
Well, they just put a Netflix up at the 7-Eleven block.
Yeah, Redbox.
Yeah, they just put a what did I just say?
You said Netflix.
They just put a Redbox up at the 7-Eleven a block from my house, and it wasn't there like
so
2 months ago.
So that means they're
expanding. So
I
yeah.
Mean, I think Redbox is doing better than the Blockbuster.
Oh yeah, well, no overhead.
Right, they just put a little.
They just pay the 7-Eleven.
Blockbuster has the devices too.
Oh wait, so there's no more brick and mortar Blockbuster?
Yes, there are.
Oh okay.
Blockbuster has the devices. I think Redbox.
What'd you say, Marcia?
Got a big sign up, the Blockbuster there, they're closing. They're not doing gift cards anymore, they're closing up everything left and right.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Blockbuster's expanding by any means, but they're not all gone, was my comment. Alright, that's all the news I have. Does anybody else have any news?
I do. Tim Minear has broken his record.
Woohoo!
He actually had a show renewed for the second year, American Horror Story. He now doesn't know what he's going to do about his Twitter name, because it's called Canceled Again. He's very happy. We're all very happy that he actually had a show renewed.
Wait, did she say Tim Minear?
Yeah.
I thought everyone says this is a Ryan Murphy show. Am I wrong?
I think Ryan, but...
Did Ryan Murphy develop it or Tim Minear? I thought Ryan Murphy's on... Because I remember it's the Glee guy. Marcia,
yeah.
Is it both of them?
Yes.
So yeah. who's the actual person who...
Tim Minear writes it.
Ah, okay.
And funds it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
The showrunner.
Okay. So good story, good news for those guys. And also in the good news department, the ratings are in for our sci-fi fantasy shows. And Once Upon a Time came in on its premiere with about 12.5 million viewers, which is fantastic. Wow. You were talking about Grimm, Peter?
Grimm, I thought I heard it was 6.5 million...
For its premiere.
But yeah, but I don't know if that's the rating or the people. Yeah, I always get confused with that. But that is the highest NBC has had since December. But I don't know what the show was in December, but that's almost a year for them. So,
right. Well, NBC
yeah.
has been suffering in the ratings. So that's great for Grimm. That means they're not going to be canceled in three like NBC usually
right.
does.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. All right, let's get on with the shows. And we're going to be on the clock. And first up is Homeland.
Heard it's good.
I like it, but I have nobody to talk with until Allison comes back.
Well, you have me. I was like, what am my chopped liver? You can talk to me about it.
Okay, sorry.
Well, this week's episode I actually thought was really interesting because for the first time, it's not the first time that Damian Lewis's character, who I don't remember his character's name, and Claire Danes' character, who I don't remember her name either, it's not the first time that they've ever been in the same room together and actually spoken together. But what was interesting is this is the first time that they've spoken in a, and I'm putting quotes up here for you guys who can't see, in a casual environment, because basically she had to take down all the surveillance equipment this week and she couldn't watch him all the time because she literally spent all her free time just watching his life. So when they took the surveillance equipment down, she was actually kind of missing him, which is what her, you know, her boss was like, yeah, that's what happens when you spend all your time with an asset and are watching them. And then when you stop, you find that you miss their life and that's what you're feeling. And so he was like, he's in the past, get over it. But of course, because she's crazy, like literally, she decided to insinuate herself into his life. And so they're doing this weird kind of flirting thing. I was like, is he interested in her? Like, I couldn't.
Yes. Oh, he is.
He is. He almost like chased her down the street. And I was just like, dude, you have, look at the wife you have at home. Granted, you're having problems, but man, she's not that much better. I think his wife looks better, but whatever. So yeah, he basically chased her down the street. And then when she drove away, he had this this grin on his face. Like he met a new girl and everything. And that's, it's intriguing, and I do want to see where that goes, but it also makes me cringe a little bit, so there you go. What do you think, Marcia?
I like it very much. You're right. The relationship between Harry and Nicholas, that's his name, Nick.
Ah, there you go.
It's interesting, because she's going to push it, and the group that they're in is kind of like not really a 12-step program, but it's for people who have PTSD.
Right.
I think it is. And so it's going to be interesting because she really does have it in a way, because when she was in Iraq, she did have an episode. So we don't know if that's what it is or if it's, you know, a physical mental issue she has.
But she's
got a lot of issues coming back. Besides, we now, unlike the Israeli version of this show, we know whether he was turned or not.
Right.
Because the one room, oh, come on, the one room, there's no camera, is the room he hides in.
Well, so far, the only thing we've seen him do in that room is pray.
That's true.
So, we haven't seen him do anything yet, but we do know he's been programmed because we've seen the flashbacks, which are really cool. We just don't know what he's been programmed to do.
Absolutely.
And also, we know that there's a mole inside of Homeland Security because when they got a tail on the guy who was, you know, planting the bomb or whatever, that couple, they got a call that told them that they had a tail on them. So I was like, who the heck knew that they were going to tail them? Like, three people? That's not good. So.
But I will tell you, as a real estate agent, nobody wants to live under a flight plan that close to an airport.
Yeah.
I would be suspicious of anybody who wanted to buy that kind of a house.
Right.
And buying all cash. I'm already finding a few loopholes in the show, but overall, I like the show.
Right. I say thumbs up.
Somebody pays cash and you question what their motivation for wanting to buy the house?
Well, the house is, they have enough money to pay in cash for a house, and the house is literally right next to an airport, and the real estate agent was kind of like, are you sure you want this house? And they're like, oh no, we totally like it.
Right.
Well,
that's weird.
More than that, we'll tell you that we are under the assumption that the jewelry, the necklace that was stolen off of the woman who
got killed? Yeah.
That money went towards, or was the money to buy the house.
Right.
That's what under the assumption. If so, I will tell you from being in the business, you cannot get title insurance on a property if you pay all cash and you can't prove where the money comes from. So there's a question, where did the money come from for the house? Is it from the necklace?
What's going on here? I don't really think they care about insurance. They're trying to blow the place up. Like, who cares if they don't have...
Point is that they could not buy the house.
You can't buy it without insurance.
All cash without showing where the money comes from. It can't be done. So either it's a mistake in the show or there's more than one place that money is coming from to finance
Well, obviously they probably laundered the money very well because everybody's cover's really good. But anyway, let's move on. Let's not get stuck on that.
I think it's interesting though. One comment about the show is it's another show that was adapted from an Israeli show.
Right.
There seems to be a trend of that lately, and I'm curious about why that is.
A trend of Americans taking shows from other countries.
Well, Israel specifically.
Hmm. Well, they've taken.
Second one. What was the first one? This is the second one.
Traffic Light or whatever it was called was a short-lived comedy that I liked. And In Treatment was a Israeli show.
Well, I know they did the Killing was a Swedish show. So they have a history of stealing British shows, so we know that.
Right. I think what the shows that's new this year, either on Fox or on NBC, one of those shows is also from Israel.
I don't know what it is.
It's just or one of those.
Well, let's move on. We got a lot of shows to talk about. Next show up is Dexter, which we haven't talked about since it premiered. And this week, they finally did the thing that they've been showing in the trailers. Well, they did it at the end of last week's episode, but this week they actually dealt with it, which is the big scene of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. And was that this week? Am I getting confused?
That was last week, because this week was the girl as the angel. And I did have
right.
Supernatural on that, let me tell you.
All right. The thing that sucked about that is they left her alive knowing that the police were going to be so stupid and just rush into the room. And they set a booby trap that basically as the police came in to rescue her, they were the ones that actually killed her.
Right.
Oh, it was awesome, yet just terrifying at the same time. So that was pretty good. And Edward James Olmos is freaking crazy. Like... I love that about his character. He's just so he's watching, what is that dude's name?
Oh, the kid, yeah.
His protege. He's watching him have sex with this woman. And he told the guy not to go out with her. And he's like, oh, I'll be back. No problem. But then he has sex with the girl. So everyone's almost like, you've now defiled her. We must kill her now. Like, well, then why are you watching them have sex? What's going on? Like, it's their relationship... I haven't been able to put my finger on exactly what their relationship is.
It's going to be interesting considering that why isn't he the one being killed instead of her since he's the one who initiated it?
Well, because everything that Edward James Olmos has been doing, it's not Tom Hanks, it's Colin Hanks, thank you. Everything that he's been doing to Colin Hanks is all about mental manipulation and it's all about making him more dependent on him. So why would he kill the guy that he's grooming to control absolutely.
But there is a religious aspect to why he's doing that.
Right.
And that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, everything he's doing is really bizarre, but... And then, Dexter's story... Well, the sister is trying to be in charge of the department now, which is so weird. I don't believe the promotion. That's part of my problem. I don't believe they would ever promote her like that.
The head of the police department is doing this to screw with LaWerta.
That's true. It's just, and of course, LaWerta is trying to screw with her, with Morgan, and it's just the political stuff that I just don't really care about. I was like, can we get to the murders and Dexter, please? Like, all this other stuff, I do not care about. That's,
oh, absolutely. But yeah. they have to have filler, and the guy from Chicago, who in their right mind shows up in a suit, in a heavy suit, in Miami?
Well, because he's from Chicago. That's his work clothes. And everyone, of course, laughs at him because he shows up in a suit for Miami Heat, and they're just like, yeah, dude, you're going to lose that in 5 seconds. But anyway, let's wrap up. Dexter's pretty good. I like where the story is going. Nothing
it's better than last year. I think it's better than last year.
Well, Edward James almost adds a creepiness factor that is pretty awesome. All right. Next up is the series premiere of Once Upon a Time.
I dug it. Living in L.A., there are posters everywhere for this show because it's an ABC show and they advertise the heck out of everything. But I got to say, yeah, I watched it just last night and it kind of feels tonally like it's got the fantasy elements I like, but it's actually not. I was saying this because I was watching it with Livia. A lot of shows we see that have to do with fantasy or supernatural or anything, a lot of the characters get defined by their powers.
Right.
Now, this character, Emma, basically knows if someone is lying.
Right.
And that is a power. That's true. But, which is fine. But actually, It's not it. The show doesn't show it off as much as shows might be, and in fact, I actually thought that, especially because you have these characters that are like, you know, Snow White and these archetypal like fairy tale characters. I was afraid that it was going to be too much, like, you know, like there's a girl who's wearing, oh, Red Riding Hood, you know, like she's wearing red. But I actually think that from what we've seen of the characters of the witch and of Emma and Snow White, that they're actually more, it's more their personalities are informed by their legends instead of just, oh, this just means that people can't lie in front of her. Like, it's not just a quirky power. Right. And I really liked that about the show. I did think, because it is an ABC show, that I was like, and it does take place in Stony Brook? Storybrooke. That I was like, it's kind of an interesting, like, I wonder when they were pitching this, where they're like, it's like Desperate Housewives, but without the sex and, you know, fairy tale characters. Because it feels very much like, at least from what we've seen, it feels very more, the women are the leads of the show.
Okay.
There is the cute little boy.
Right.
And everything, but really, it feels like you've got the stuff in the past, you got the Wicked Witch, you've got Snow White, and then you've got the daughter. And those seem to be the three big power things that are going
right
on. You know, although we do have Rumpelstiltskin, who is Robert Carlyle, who
right
is great. So, yeah, I was totally on board. I totally like it and everything.
Well, only thing I'm going to say is I think that in addition, everything, I agree with everything you said, but I just wanted to mention the kid, child actors doing dramatic roles are hard.
Yes, it is.
And this kid sold me on
totally
the drama, and he sold me on his charm.
Like, I think he sold me on his charm and the fact that he has a secret that he wants to share with his birth mother, but he's not quite sure how to get there.
Right.
It was good. I could feel that conflict with the kid,
right,
which is really nice.
Well,
you know?
And then, of course, when he does share it, she totally doesn't believe him.
Well, of course, I mean, who would?
I know.
You know? So.
What I like about the show is that, because you can tell that the next episodes are going to be a little bit different than this first one, they have a lot of really good actors, well-known actors, but they're also not relying only on the actors. The writing was very good. The editing was very good. I was not bored. And I could not tell at the end what was going to happen.
Right,
which,
me too.
You know, most of the time on these shows, they telegraph what the whole thing's going to be about. This and Jane Espenson being involved, I think it's going to keep the numbers. And it's a great time of the week and the night because it'll bring children and parents.
Yeah, that's
you
what I was thinking.
This may be America's Doctor Who. I can see this going on for many, many, many years.
Well, don't curse it now.
Yeah.
Let's not jinx
that.
Let's not jinx that.
Nothing can possibly go wrong. You know,
David, you have a comment?
I agree. I think that Jennifer Morrison did a good job. I really liked her character, and I love the kid. And I think they have some good chemistry that can be developed. And I'm anxious to see where the show goes. I think it's well produced, and we'll see.
And good casting with Jennifer Godwin or whatever her name is, and
Jennifer Morrison.
They look more like than you would think.
Yeah,
because I wouldn't think that, but looking at them, I'm like, oh, this is totally good casting. Yeah,
right.
But, yeah.
It was freakish. I was walking the scene when they're actually standing next to each other. I was like, holy crap! Like their eyes are the same. They have the same cheekbones. And their facial structures are very similar, just one's blonde and one's not.
Yeah.
And I was just
like I could totally, if you had said they were sisters, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah, I totally
that
believe you.
Yeah.
That's really great casting. All right, let's go on to, next up is Castle. And this week was our Halloween episode. And it instead of doing everybody in costumes, they basically do a ghost hunter episode where they have to spend some time in a haunted house. And what's great is Castle, of course, is convinced that a ghost killed the person that they found the body for. So that was all, you know, they did the standard haunted house thing, and they all have to spend the night, spend some time in the haunted house, and stuff moves around, it's all creepy and whatnot. And then, of course, you find your logical answer at the end.
Like every other castle, it was okay, I'm starting to get bored with it. It's the same thing over and over. It's not interesting. I like the daughter and the mom, and they're being pushed more towards the side. I don't know.
Well, the daughter and the mom have never really been center.
But the daughter was a key in a couple of the episodes earlier, which I really liked. I do like her a lot. But you're right. I think they can use more of them. That those relationships are interesting, and I do think that some of the overall plots are kind of dwindling down and there's not, you know, there's not as much of the tension between Castle and Beckett.
Don't do it every week.
Well, they don't do it every week, but I mean, it's like there was already a big thing that happened, and then you're like, okay, so now it's resolved, and what's going to happen next? But it's kind of if they keep just waxing and waning their relationship of romantic tension or whatever.
Well,
it's kind of
actually
boring.
Didn't get resolved.
It didn't, but they kind of came to a head and said, okay, we're not going to deal with this, and then they backed off, and if they just keep coming back and forth without any changes, like in House, they did a, you know, eventually they got them together.
Yeah, it took like 8 seasons.
I'm just saying. once they did that, then things were different.
Yeah,
it was a different dynamic.
I agree, but it did take them forever. Yes. I mean, and Castle is on its season 4.
But my point is that they keep going back and forth, and it doesn't feel like there's any.
The problem is the moonlighting effect. Every big show is terrified.
They have a bickering couple.
They are terrified that if they get their couple together, they will have the moonlight effect, which is the show goes in the tank. So that's why they don't do it. And to me, like, example, Eureka had a similar situation where they had the couple that they were do they or don't they, blah, 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 blah. It took them to season 4. And then they finally did get the couple together, and they did it in a really good way.
Right.
I actually think that it's good writing if you can manage to do it. However, Eureka is not completely dependent on two characters. It's an ensemble.
Right.
The problem with Castle is it's not really an ensemble. It's the two characters and everybody else surrounds them.
Right.
And if they screw that up, then the show's screwed.
Right, but there's not enough of the other characters around them to make it interesting every week. Is the problem.
I don't know. It's because it's not an ensemble. Some shows are ensemble, some shows are not. This is not an ensemble show.
Right, but it doesn't have to be ensemble. They can have the daughter, you know, story 1 week and then the you know, Esposito or whatever story 1 week.
I wouldn't want that.
Really?
Yeah, I like spending my time with Castle.
Yeah.
If we're not with Castle, I don't want...
as a second story, not as the main story, but as part of the what's going on to make it interesting. I don't know.
I don't think the daughter could carry it. I like
her.
Oh,
I do.
I like her, but I don't think she could carry her own story because right now she's in high school. I don't care about what the heck is going on with her in high school. She's, you know what I'm saying? Anytime they do stuff like that, I do get bored.
I think she's done with high school, but yeah.
No, she's not. Not yet.
Well,
She's applying to college, but she's not done.
Okay.
Anyway, next up is NCIS, and this week's episode was the guy that drowned while he was driving, which everyone goes, say what now? So it was a pretty interesting case from an ME standpoint because they couldn't figure out how he managed to drown while he was in his car. But then when they tell you this, what happened, you're like, oh, okay. Because like his brain weighed like 2 pounds more than normal because he had so much water in his body. And you find out that he basically drank all that water because someone drugged him and made him feel like he was dying of thirst. And they just kept feeding him water. And he kept drinking it until he literally killed himself with too much water. Which is an interesting way to kill somebody. And I was like, okay. And they did it because they wanted the ME to be fascinated. And it ended up being, was it Cheryl Ladd?
Yeah.
Ended up being Cheryl Ladd, who was also dating him online. I was like, see, this is why you should not date people online, because you meet the serial killer. But it was a weird episode because it did focus mostly on Ducky and his relationship.
Which I like. Again, it's a side character, but it's... It was an interesting story, I thought. And I want to know more about Ducky because I know that he's key to Gibbs's, you know, key to the other people. So
I want to know about Ducky too, but as he relates to the main characters. If this episode had been Ducky and any of the main characters just hanging out, I would have been fine. But it was him and Cheryl Ladd, who I didn't know, didn't care about, and I was bored.
I liked it though.
Well, I could tell that she was, because they were spending so much time with her, I was like, she's either a reoccurring character, which I don't care about, or she's the killer. Those are the two options. And she ended up being the killer. So I was like, all right. I don't know. I didn't really like this one. So. Yes, I like my stars. I'm simple that way. Next up is the Halloween episode of Psych. And this week, which was great, is the two main characters dressed up as vampires. One of them dressed up as... Interview with the Vampire, but the one... Oh, which one was blonde? Was that...
Lestat?
Was Lestat blonde? Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. But it was so great because he's trying to be cooler. He's like, so he's talking really slow because he's a cool vampire. And then Gus dresses up as a vampire, but he's a black guy and he puts all these sideburns on.
He's Dracula.
And everybody, no, but everybody thinks he's Count Dracula from like the cereal.
Count Chocula.
Count Chocula from the cereal. And he's like, no, I'm Blackula. And they're like, give it up. We're the only two people who saw that movie. And he said, well, us. And
the whole show had this feel of this, was it 70s or whatever?
Yeah.
The in and out of the commercials had the zoom freeze frame. Which right. I didn't really like it that much. I know what they were trying to do, but it didn't work for me so much.
Well, they always do themes. Like, they're one of the shows, they're kind of like when you talk about Community, Psych does themes too, where the creator of the show really likes the 80s. And so there are a lot of little, like each episode, not every episode, but there are a lot of episodes that focus specifically on an 80s theme. Which is really funny. I think it's pretty good. Especially if you grew up in the 80s.
It's great. I just didn't think this one worked as well as some of the other ones have worked for me. But
and I also think this
or parts one... parts of it, it didn't, anyway.
The relationship thing was a little weird because... I just blanked on his name. The cop.
Lassiter?
Lassiter. Thank you. I was like, Lucider? No. Lassiter, and he gets a girlfriend who they try to make you think is a vampire, but... like, she kind of is, because she really does want his blood, but not for why you would think. Because her brother's dying from
I kind of like that plot, actually.
Yeah, it was good, because you're like, are they trying to say vampires are real? Like, and it's basically her brother has some weird, rare blood disease, but he has a rare blood type, so he can't get enough blood to survive. So they found the list of people in town who have the blood type, and they're going around taking their blood. And the woman starts hitting on Lassiter because she literally wants his blood, but they're hyping up the whole vampire thing of it, and you're just like, okay. But it was pretty good because he actually ends up finding a girl that he likes, and she ends up in prison at the end.
And he would, you know, he wanted to wait for her, which was great. I thought it was a great Lassiter episode. I mean,
he doesn't get
a chance to riff off of too many other people other than, you know, Sean and Gus. So
yeah, I actually agree with you on that one. Yes.
So I liked it.
Yeah, I did too. Lassiter is a great character.
Yeah.
So, thumbs up for Psych. Next up is American Horror Story. Marcia, you said you want to talk about that real quick?
Well, I like it very much. And again, Tim Minear is one of the producers. So it gives it a nice flavor. However, I personally, before Peter was talking about how will they continue to go with this story more than one season because of the renewal. Well, I'm personally hoping that the two leads, the mom and dad, get killed off pretty soon.
I like the woman.
I like her, but no. Ben is the worst psychiatrist you could ever have. This is a man who zones out and doesn't even help his own patients. I'd be scared to death to have him as a psychiatrist. But I'm loving Dennis O'Hare as Larry, the guy who murdered his family when he was a previous owner of the house. Because everyone who's lived in this house has had something horrible happen to them, and there have been murders. The two gay guys this last time, how they were taking over the house because the idea of Halloween is that the veil between the living and dead in this house doesn't exist anyway, but it's even thinner on Halloween. And they came back to decorate the house, to get it all put together, to get it ready to go. And They're just everyone. All the ghosts that show up keep acting like it's still their damn house. And I love it. It's very Twin Peaks, but good Twin Peaks. Not toward the end of Twin Peaks.
I was about to say, be specific, because the beginning of Twin Peaks was great. All right. So thumbs up from you.
Absolutely. It's definitely worth people sitting and watching. I watched four in a row, which really is the way to go.
Okay.
It was definitely worth it.
We want to talk about the Halloween episode of Big Bang, and the whole episode was basically the opening is they play a prank on Sheldon, Halloween, to try to scare him, and he's all like, I'm logical, fear doesn't work on me, until he starts screaming like a little girl, and then of course it does. So their Halloween prank at him at the beginning was all pretty good, and they literally made him scream, pass out, and pee on himself, which was fantastic. So then the rest of the episode, because that happens in the opening. So the rest of the episode is him trying to get revenge. He was like, I'm from Texas, and people in Texas we don't just get mad, we get even. And I was like, you're from Texas now? Like, when do you claim you're from Texas?
I just like that because there was a reference to the psych episode where he peed on himself and Sean said, my friend has either peed himself or thrown his back out. And he bends over and says, ouch, ouch. He says, obviously he pees himself, which was not true. But anyway.
Yeah, I remember from the commercial. That was pretty good. But yeah, this was great. So, but what's great about it also is that Sheldon sucks at doing practical jokes because he can't lie to save his life. So the setup for the practical jokes makes it very obvious that he's trying to do something. So every time he tries to set one of them up for a practical joke, it backfires. And I have to say the best backfire was actually when he went over to Wallowitz's house and he did the whole electrocution thing with a handshake. And they're like, Wallowitz falls out and he's like, he has a heart condition. He's like, oh, I thought he was lying about his heart condition. It's like, no, we have to hit him with adrenaline. And they get the big needle out and they're like, you have to do it. He does the whole adrenaline thing and freaks out. And of course, it's a fake needle and it was all fake. And they basically got Sheldon again. It was pretty good.
I think the best part of that was when he hit his palm to his forehead. And
that was awesome. Yeah, he was like, I can't believe you got me again. And he hits himself in the head, and he's got the electrocution thing still on his hand. Oh, man, that was great. So, yeah, that was a fun episode. I don't really care what happened with Leonard and his two-timing self, whatever.
Yeah, I'm getting sick of them making like there are no beautiful geek girls when there are lots of them out there. And Bernadette's sounding a little too much like Mom.
Yeah, that's really starting to be creepy.
Yeah.
Next up, we want to talk about Community. It was their Halloween episode.
I dug it. I don't know if I thought it was like the best episode ever or anything, but one, I'm more of a Britta person than
I do like Britta.
So I love that she's the one who's so freaked out about the whole thing and that they even say that, like, even their, you know, don't Britta, they even use her yeah. name and everything. Yeah.
Like the best thing. It was like, let's not Britta that. She said, does that mean you make a small error? Yes, that's what that means.
My favorite thing was actually Annie's ghost story of how gross and detailed she got. Oh, I was like, whoa. His eye sockets are over, like, yikes. Like
his eye's nerve is still connected to the eye socket.
Oh, yes,
when they show the
normal. They show who. Because they're basically, I mean, the premise is that Britta, because she's a psych major, had everyone do a psych thing, and one of them is completely crazy or something like that. And then they're all. Then at the end, of course, they're like, what if it's Britta who's the one who's crazy? Or I think Jeff, he did it randomly.
Right.
And then you find out she put the thing in backwards. So there's all these reasons for why. And then at the very end, they all do it, and then one person is not. Everyone's insane except one person, and at the very end,
you find out Abed.
Yeah,
right.
So that was nice, yeah.
Which makes sense, because he's the logical one. I think it makes
sense. That's true.
I think it totally makes sense. I was like, oh, he used logic to answer all his questions, so he came out normal.
Right.
Because that's if a machine was to take a test, that is what a machine would get.
Right.
As an answer.
That's true.
So I thought that was a really good one. Except the skits were weird in that, though I think my favorite skit was Abed and
Britta?
No. Oh, that was weird. That was, I didn't like them kissing.
I was weird too. That was weird for me. It was actually a pretty light kiss. It was but it was still weird.
And she's
like,
he was like light touch. He's like, you want to do it again? He's like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I agree with that. Let's not do that again.
Weird. I agree.
But actually, Abed and Troy, their connected thing. It was the whole
The human centipede.
Human centipede. Except instead of human centipede, they made them into Siamese twins or whatever.
Right, which is that's the origin of the human centipede story. Is it's a doctor who would separate conjoined twins, so that's why it worked. Yeah.
Okay.
So
I never saw that movie.
I didn't think you would, but I did. But it was good.
I don't know the reference to the human centipede, but I thought it was.
Well, it's just the whole stitching people together. And all
yeah,
that
human
kind of
centipede
stuff, you know?
Was a movie where they stitched this guy, this mad doctor, knocks people out and stitches them together in really
very gross way.
Very gross.
Much grosser than what was in Community.
Yes. And then they, of course, become telepaths because they're joined.
Right!
Because that happens.
Talking to each other now.
That happens.
And telekinesis are, that was really.
Yeah, that was, I like that skit, but.
And, of course, the Chevy Chase one, he's almost like a Hugh Hefner type.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And he's got
all. That's funny, yeah.
And then there are stereotypes, and he gets to beat them up, and they were like, how is that a horror story?
Right.
So some of the skits were good, some of them not as good, but I don't know. I guess I want. Because I think the last two episodes we talked about were kind of bottle episodes. Let's get to a big one again, please.
Yeah, they're on a budget.
I guess. Yeah, give. But it was still entertaining. I'm not going to say it was boring.
Yeah, I really think that probably Troy and Ovid's relationship is the is one of my favorite things about that show, though.
I would agree.
See, mine's more just I like all the characters. It's really just I just like when they all end up fighting or sparring against each other. That's just what I like about sitcoms. I do like Abed and Troy, but
they're my favorite.
I just love seeing
the
characters bam, 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 you know, go against each other. That's just my favorite thing. So, Bastard?
Next up is Vampire Diaries. And this week, we had the end of the whole ghost story.
Yep, they did what they normally do, is they basically have, it feels like they have three, sometimes four big stories a season because they resolve them. And this ghost thing happened in the season finale.
Right.
Jeremy saw, I think, Vicky. I think she's the first ghost.
Well, he saw both of them. He saw Vicky and Anne.
In the same episode?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Vicky was taken care of last week.
Right.
And then this week was the big episode where they were basically like, okay, we're going to do this thing where you can see the ghost, you know, the ghosts.
See all the ghosts.
And
which is awesome.
I mean, and I think you were the one who called, because at the end of last week's episode, Damon sees Mason.
Right. And I was like, Mason. Yeah, Mason's heart was literally ripped out of his chest.
But it's pretty, and then the other side thing was that while that was going on, it all comes down to destroying that special necklace.
Right.
And at the same time,
because I was thinking, don't they need that necklace for something else? Like, I was pretty
sure. Well, the bad guys do. The Klaus does. Right. Which, and it's still around.
Right.
Didn't get
they undestroyed it.
But no, it was a good episode. I mean, a lot came together. I actually liked seeing Mason again. I liked how his whole, like, I'm not really doing it for revenge. And, like, you know, it's not what you think it is. It was all, it was good.
I liked all the stuff with Damon and Mason and Damon and Rick. I liked all the manly bonding and not apologizing.
Who's Rick?
Rick is the teacher. The
Wait, I thought his name was something weird. Like,
his last name is, but his
Ehrlich or
Alaris.
That's it. That moment was a total Slash moment at the end.
You are now seeing Slash.
The end scene where basically he's like, you know, oh well, Big Damon says something like, look, you know, sometimes I do things that I shouldn't do and I just do. And he's like, you can give me the same half-ass answer you gave to the werewolf guy. He's like, yes, but I mean it with you. I was looking at it, I was like, kiss. So that scene was so, like that. But it was good. So.
But
Vampire Diaries, that's their thing. Even if they have plots, and to be honest, the ghost thing is okay. It's not one of their best plots ever, but I always have the confidence that it's going to move on to like something else.
Right.
And the next thing looks awesome.
Well, we have the originals. Because
now, like a big flashback.
Right. Well, we now have discovered this secret cave that's got all these, all these paintings that tell you the big secret about the originals. So,
and Damon couldn't enter it.
Right.
Which makes me wonder who was doing the paintings then.
Well, they said Mason said it was the werewolves. The werewolves made the paintings.
Okay, all right, yeah.
So they made it so that that vampires can't get in there.
Right.
But does that mean that Klaus can get in because he's a hybrid?
He does have the weirdness, yeah. I mean, he's. I
don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
But right now he doesn't know about it, and that's all just as long
I
as
we realized. We didn't see, unless I missed it. We didn't see what happened to Catherine.
No, we did not. However, they made a reference to make it sound like she's dead.
What do you mean?
There was a conversation where Mason is talking to Damon, and he's like, yeah, how did that thing with the vampire hunter go? That didn't work out very well for you, did it? And he's like, no. So that was...
No, she can't be dead. If you're going to kill Catherine... And I know we've brought this up before, that she doesn't have much to do this season. So I don't think... I have nothing wrong with getting rid of Catherine, except I do like the actress having the two roles. But, no, she has to have a better send-off than...
Being eaten? That's awesome, though. I like it.
Right. I don't mind her being eaten, but I would have liked eaten, and then you cut back, and he just throws her dead body. Then I'd be like, oh. It wasn't. It was like... He grabs her, she's freaking out, he's eating, and then you cut. Because, you know, the way vampires eat, it could, the next scene could be... He's released.
True.
So I would think it's got to be he sucks. Yeah, he eats her and just throws her like a dead prune or something like that. Yes, then I would be like, whoa, dead. But they didn't do that.
That's true.
So,
That's true.
But I don't know. Maybe. Honestly. They didn't deal with it at all. Or
no.
Klaus, really.
There's no Klaus this week.
Yeah.
All right, so thumbs up. Very good Vampire Diaries. We got to see all these characters we haven't seen in years, which
was
really
awesome.
Good.
That was really fun.
Yeah, that was a lot
really
of fun.
Cool.
And now we move on to, like you said, the originals. Woohoo! All right, next up is Person of Interest. And this week's episode of Person of Interest was really interesting because you have this woman who they assume is the victim, and then they see that she has a gun, and so they're like, okay, maybe she's the killer. And then you find the next layer, and you find out, no, she's a fixer, which means she has enemies, so she's probably still the victim. So they go back and forth, and I like that they started the story, like, as they've been doing episodes so far, it's like they meet, they get a number, they say, okay, this is the person you're going to have to follow, blah, blah, blah. This week's episode kind of started in Act 2. They had already done all that. And so I like that. They're like, okay, you guys understand our formula, let's just go.
Right, they can just shorthand it now.
Right.
And I like that. I think they always do assume that the number that comes up is the victim, just for safety's sake, I guess, if nothing right. else. But or compassion's sake or whatever. But I like the character. I thought the fixer was an interesting character.
I hope she comes back. Because they totally set her up to be coming back because she obviously has her fingers in a lot of different pies. So if they need some information, then she would be the person to go to.
And she's not an equal, but she's more of an equal than a lot of the characters. Around.
So she could totally hold her own. So I wouldn't feel like they would be putting her in danger if they involved her in any of the cases.
Right.
And I did like Emerson's character when he was talking about before when the numbers would come up and he didn't have anybody to help him, that he felt totally helpless. And this week's episode, they actually ended up getting justice for one of the people that he had to watch die. So I thought that was a really good moment. Only thing, was it just me? Or when Jim Caviezel, this week, did he seem a little high to you?
High?
Like his eyes were like half closed and he was talking real slow. And I was like, is he on weed right now? Like it was a weird thing because normally I would say his performances are subtle. Mm. This week's episode seemed his performance was high. Just like so subtle and so laid back that he like smoked a joint right before he did a scene. Like it was a little weird to me.
Maybe he was a little relaxed more so than he used to. Usually.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Instead of being subtle, he felt so relaxed that I was wondering if there was drug use involved. Like it was just like it was weird, and he's normally not like that. So did you notice it or maybe?
Maybe. So no.
I wouldn't say he's on drugs, or I think he might be on drugs. But like I said. Maybe he was a little more relaxed than he usually is.
Well, it's just the half-lit eyes thing. That's the thing that...
I didn't notice his eyes particularly.
But need a bigger TV.
His... Sorry, I can't afford to get your new
video. Livia just got a new television for all those listeners. That's why she can cockily say, you need a bigger TV. To the rest of us plebeians.
Whatever, you just got one too.
Well, they didn't know that until now.
Anyway.
And this is where we live, so you can rob us.
Next up is Prime Suspect. One thing we were talking about Prime Suspect.
New opening sequence.
Yeah, what the heck?
They I like their simple opening sequence.
No.
It's gone.
Instead it's just flashy, like Prime Suspect. It's like
poppy, it's, you know.
Yeah, it's got people being shot, people being hit, elbowed. I don't know, because it's like, I was just so surprised.
It stood out before. Now it doesn't stand out so much.
Because like, I love that just black... Yeah. Letter the white
white letters on black
and you Prime Suspect, and then you see the city and some rock music. Done.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like it's the characters. It's as they put the names of the cast. Each cast member comes up and you see them do something. And I was like,
is it the same music? Is it that Black Keys song?
No, I don't think so.
Man, new music, new. It's you know moving around and
it's all flashy and it's got like two faces and merged and it's really fast paced and. I'd have to watch colorful. It again because I was just so like, I was like, what the heck is this? You know, I was more like, and I think what's going on is because the ratings for the first few episodes have not been great. I feel like they're trying to reinvent themselves and bring in new people. They're trying to get a more audience. So they're like, okay, the whole Prime Suspect thing didn't work. Let's do flashy. So, I mean, if it works and it brings the ratings up, I don't care.
Was the old opening like the UK version?
I don't remember. The UK version was not all flashy and poppy. I know that much. I don't actually remember what the UK version open is.
Don't know.
I don't think they really had it. Because it kind of played like a movie. Because it's like 2 hours for a case or whatever. But anyway. The episode itself was the thing that stood out for the episode was that the cop that really hates her, oh, I forgot his name. I don't remember anyone's name on the show. he basically gets a curse put on him. Because the whole thing is there's this Latina woman who goes missing, and the cops don't look for her because she comes from a bad neighborhood. And they're like, oh, I'm sure she'll just pop back up. And she ran away. Like, nobody puts any effort into looking for her whatsoever. Everybody reports that she's been missing, and they want the cops to do something, and they do nothing. And then the body is found, and so they basically have a riot on their hands. Because the people were like, if you had looked for her...
Right, of course.
Then, you know...
Whatever. Well, wait, how long has she been dead?
She was dead pretty much as soon as she went missing.
But still, the point
right. Right. But their whole point was that they treat the crimes differently, blah, blah, blah. So they almost had a riot, and one of the guys got hit in the head with a tomato, and this woman from the neighborhood put a curse on him. And so for the whole episode, because he's like, I don't believe in curses. And for the whole episode, just crazy stuff just happens to him. Like, they're chasing a suspect. The guy drops the gun, because they're like, drop the gun. So the guy drops the gun. The gun goes off and nicks the guy across the neck. And he goes, I call that lucky. I didn't, you know, he's like, I don't call that bad luck. I think that's actually lucky. And they're like, yeah, but the gun didn't have to go off when it right. fell.
That's true. But to survive, yes.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, I'm not really hurt. It's fine. And then...
he rips his suit.
He rips his suit when he goes running after suspect, and everybody laughs at his underwear. Mm. And then one of the suspects, some information leaks, and one of the father who they think is a suspect... He comes in and he gets mad. He bypasses all the other officers, walks right up to him and punches him in the face. So he's like a black eye for the whole episode. And they're like, really? You don't want to try to get this curse taken off? And he's like, fine. So that's... And basically getting the curse taken off is this woman spitting in his face, which was hilarious. So I think that little side story was actually pretty entertaining. The case itself was... I literally call the killer... like at 10 minutes in, like, because there's the groundskeeper guy who finds the body, and at first he like takes him to the body, and I didn't really suspect him at first. He took the body, but then he shows up next and they're like, oh, you want me to show you blah blah blah, and I was like, he did it. And you get all the way to the end of the episode, he did it. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as I saw him for the second time, I knew he did it. Whatever. So that part wasn't as entertaining. I think the other was more
coming. Yeah, I mean, I think the characters have the potential to be pretty interesting, obviously, especially the lead. But the stories haven't so far been really unusually interesting. They've been kind of okay, ho-hum.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting. I'll still watch it.
All right, next up we're going to talk about the series premiere of Grimm. Marcia, I know this is your...
Supernatural 2.
Supernatural 2. I know, Marcia, this is your big show. What did you think?
Even watching it the second time, because I saw it first at Comic-Con, I still like it. I actually really like not so much the guy I call the Slayer, even though he's not. I like his associates very much. The idea of Grimm is that there really was a family of Grimm, and they were what you would call, in the day, they were police. They hunted down these supernatural creatures. The stories were not so much just stories, but they were actually how you hunt them down, how you kill them. And not all of them are evil. Some of them are very nice. Some of them just want to hide from everyone else. And I think it's very cute. And I also love how originally, when talking with one of the creators, he said that he was in the shower thinking, what storyline can I come up with that nobody owns? What's out there in the public domain? Grimm's story. So a nice thing is they can really go anywhere they want to. And right now, this episode, they went into the Little Red Riding Hood story.
Right.
That there was a big bad wolf that was attacking females, little girls and young women, who were wearing red sweaters. And it's just, that was the police procedural. While at the same time, he's finding out from his aunt, I think it is, either his aunt or his grandmother, that he is one of the Grimms, and he will now have to fight the evil that's out there while he's a policeman.
Right, because not only does he now see them, they now can see him, and they know that he's a Grimm, which means he's now a target. So he basically really quickly needs to educate himself on what the heck is going on, because I actually think it's an error in her judgment to not at least train him a little bit. Because she was like, I lied to you your whole life. I was like, and I only have like 2 days left to live because I have cancer. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, like, this is a really important piece of information you need to tell, especially because it goes through the family line.
Not unrealistic, though. I mean, people do wait and delay things even though they're important. So.
Well, that's true, but there's like the amount of information that she needs to download to him. And she knew that as soon as she died, he would get the visions and be able to see. She also knew she had cancer. So it's not like she got hit by a truck. She knew she had cancer. And she obviously already went through chemotherapy because she's bald. So she had some warning, you know what I'm saying? So as soon as you find out you got cancer, you're probably going to die. This is the time where because she's like, oh, I've been protecting you, which I get, because for her, she raised him and he was a kid. She didn't want him to go through this. But once she got cancer, I'm like, we need to meet and have a conversation. Because there was all this information. She's like, I got the books. I got the weapons. I got that. She's like, I got so much stuff I have to tell you. And I have like 2 days to live. Like, what? Come on. So that I was kind of really frustrated about, because he's got this whole long family legacy. But I understand from a television watching perspective, we're going to learn the stuff as he learns it, which is entertaining for the audience. I just think that that's just crazily irresponsible of the aunt. So that's
They didn't need to get rid of the other character right away. They could have had it gradual, but you know, it's the critical nature of that plot point that it's his time and he has to learn really quickly and to save the world.
And I like the mistakes he's making. Like, they go after the big bad wolf and he's like, so I need silver bullets,
right.
And they're like, what are you, an idiot? And I was like, no, it's the big bad wolf, not a werewolf. You know, so that was all pretty good.
She's not dead yet.
True.
So yes, there's still that opening.
Right.
But I happen to love Nick. I think that Nick, the character of Nick, is adorable.
He's the other Bruja. It's not a Bruja. He's a Brew something. Burkhard.
But he knows everything, and he has tried to make himself a good person.
Right.
And he knows so much more, and he's willing to teach him, but kind of in a bass-ackwards way.
Well,
I think it's adorable.
I'll
tell you one thing I did not like. I didn't like it the first time. I still don't like it this time. How they had him, like, assume the powers at the end. I thought that was very weak.
What do you mean assume the powers?
Yeah. But other than that, I see potential.
What do you mean by assume the powers? I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, when he passed out, he was supposed to have started to get memories.
Oh, no, that wasn't... He got poisoned. Because remember...
Started to have memories.
Yeah, but it wasn't that he passed out and got powers. It was they were going to poison his aunt, and he stopped them from poisoning her, and then he got poisoned, and that's why he passed out.
No, I understand, but he started to have flashbacks.
I mean, I like what you're saying about Nick. I like the character. I liked the fact that he was a sort of a reluctant sidekick, and I like the actor, too. I don't know what... I'm trying to think of... I know I've seen him in a couple other things.
I have seen him,
I like. What casting I really did like was the Big Bad Wolf, who had played... The actor had played the nemesis of Monk on the TV show Monk at one point. And I just think it was great casting.
He was very creepy.
Yeah, he was very creepy and funny at the same time.
Yeah, because it's like... He's like, I need your sweater. Takes the sweater off the girl and he... very carefully puts in the closet with all the other red sweatshirts and stuff. And I was like, and then he's like, who do you want, a pot pie? And he's like, the girl's like crying and she wants to go home. And he goes, would you like a pot pie? And the girl's like, no. So he was just really, and then you find out later that the reason he's doing that is because he's already eaten one of the other girls and he's not going to be hungry for like a week. So he wants to fatten the girl up. So that's why he's trying to get her to eat. And you're like, oh, that's even creepier.
I was just wondering what was in the pie.
That's true. It's like, I made a pot pie and it's all in the crust.
He didn't say chicken pot pie.
That's a very good point. Yeah, I don't want to know either. The partner is taking a lot on faith. Like his police partner is taking a lot on faith because he's like, oh, I got this lead for this thing and it's over here through the woods, through this creek.
Well, he did hesitate. And afterwards, he's like, I don't believe you just led me through this wild goose chase or whatever.
Right.
So that's not unbelievable. I like the twist where he's supposed to get rid of his fiance because he's going to be, you know,
endanger
her as this new job he has. But we'll see what happens. A lot of nice things opening up in the plot. We'll see what happens.
Only thing is the police chief is one of the monsters. That's a little...
it's a little on the nose, but yeah.
All right. I still like it. All right, next up is Supernatural. And this week's episode, basically the brothers get... It's a Leviathan episode again. But they decide to duplicate the brothers, and the duplicates go on a killing spree. So now you have the police chasing them, which I'm like, oh, come on. First of all, we did this in, what, second season of Supernatural? Where they had the police chasing them? Don't you remember that, Peter?
Yes, you're right. Yeah,
and that was like...
They had one main guy and everything, but yeah.
But that was the stuff that I didn't like. Where you got the police chasing them. So this episode, they have duplicates of the brothers going on a killing spree. So now you have FBI, police, everyone in the country is now looking for them. So everyone knows their face. So I was just like, are you kidding me? I was like, you took a bad plot from like season two.
But did they make it better?
Well, it's that storyline is over by the end of the episode. So they do that. So that gets all wrapped up. But then, of course, the duplicates have all the memories of the brothers. So the opposite brother gets with the opposite duplicate. And so the big secret that Dean has been keeping from Sam all season is that he killed... Sam basically begged Dean not to kill one of his childhood friends, even though she was a monster. And Dean was like, I trust you. I'm not going to do it. It's totally cool. And then Dean double backs and totally kills her. Which Dean has been feeling guilty about all season. Like, that's been the big thing that he's been keeping this big secret. And so then the duplicate Dean totally just tells Sam what happened. He's like, you know, he's like, why don't you just go ahead and kill me? He's like, oh, I like my meat to be tender and bitter. So he tells him the big secret. So now Sam knows, and he holds on to it and grumbles. And then finally at the end, he's like, I know what you did. I know you killed her. And Dean's like, oh. So then the brothers basically break up. Again, I hate that.
Yeah.
Whenever they split the brothers up, I'm like, oh, come on. One, you know it's not going to...
Except you know that he's going to be back next episode.
Right. I was like, first of all, you know it's not going to last, but it's stupid. But continue. What are you going
to
say?
There were some humorous parts to it. When the two Leviathan are in the restaurant and they're talking about how messed up Dean and Sam are mentally.
Right, right.
How Dean thinks hamburgers are better than sex. How Sam is so messed up mentally. Why is he still even alive? Why on earth does anybody give a damn about these two? They're so hopeless and inept and crap. Why are we even going after them? You know, and sometimes that is a question we as the audience wonder also.
I like that they didn't want to switch bodies because Sam's hair was too big.
But it's interesting how at the end you find out that one of the FBI agents is a Leviathan.
Well, I suspected that the whole time, actually. I thought both of them were Leviathans. So when they reveal one of them was, I was like, all right. And Michael Hogan was a good, interesting addition. I like Michael Hogan.
Very much. However, I have a question. Why was this called Flash Fiction?
I don't know.
I understand all those people going on the internet trying to find video, you know, pictures and stuff for their reviews are going to have a very hard time finding pictures. Why? This had nothing to do with the actual Flash Fiction.
I know. When I saw the title, I was like, I don't think that means what you think it means. You know, like, I was thinking the same thing, and I have no idea why they named this episode that. It had nothing to do...
I understand the Pulp Fiction aspect in the restaurant, in the coffee shop, but it still didn't make a sense for Slash Fiction. I don't know. But this is one of those, to me, it's a filler episode.
I agree, except it did... Bobby got to do some interesting stuff. I like the Bobby storyline. And he got the girl, except I kept waiting for her to be evil, but she wasn't, so that was good.
I saw Bobby at Century City Mall. Much taller guy than I thought he would be.
Well, he's standing next to two giants.
Yeah, but he's cool. But I'm just because you said Bobby. So. Jim Beaver.
All right, so this week's episode is a little disappointing. It was not the best Supernatural episode they've ever had, and they recycle some stuff from a few years ago, so that was a little disappointing. But hopefully, next week looks pretty good. Well, actually, next week looks sort of silly, but it looks strange because the brothers are split up, so we're going to have a silly episode and get the brothers back together? Like, I don't understand that, but whatever. I will be watching Supernatural. There you go. All right, and that's...
Wait, we want to mention Chuck premiered this week.
Oh, right. Go ahead.
And we're trying not to give any spoilers. It's a new dynamic. The team is together, and Chuck is just the boss now. He's not the, he's not the intersect anymore. And it's interesting. I think they're coming together as their own little spy group, and I'd like to see this season. I think they have some... hopefully they'll have some interesting stories to tell, and I still like the dynamic between those four characters, between
Baldwin,
Adam Baldwin, Yvonne Strelitzky, and blah blah.
We know you're talking about the Chuck crew.
The four main characters that are in the new season, basically. So that have always been, I guess, the four main characters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like them.
We didn't see Ellie or Awesome, but we saw the other four.
I like the fact his name is Awesome.
Captain Awesome.
Anyway, so you're saying thumbs up for this season?
Yeah, thumbs up. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So let's wrap up. And if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And also you can listen to us on getthepointradio.com and Krypton Radio. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Later.
Bye. Bye.